Well, anybody ready? Okay, I just had a little thing to say to you. I want you to shake it off now. Count it all joy. Say amen.
Amen.
If you're not accustomed to what I just did, welcome to a real pastor. If your parents have never had words with you, they're not parenting you. Thank you. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Say amen. I have a message that you're going to, it's muy importante. What I'm going to say right now for the next 45 minutes is very, very, very important and very good. So we'll change to good news now. And someone said amen. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles out and go to John chapter 14. We're going to talk again about the helper. And when we talk about that, we are talking about the person called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God as much as Father, as much as Son. There's three dispensations in the earth. The first, there was the dispensation of God and the law. Then there was the dispensation of the Son. The Son rose from the dead and sat down, and he sent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in the earth. He is the one running the church. He is the one that lives inside of you. Amen. We're going to get to know him. We're going to get to learn something about him and work with him. John 14, verse 16, it says, and I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. In other words, it says in the Greek, another helper like me, that he'll abide with you forever and ever and ever. Aren't you glad? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He dwells with you and will be in you. I'll not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus made a very big deal before he died about this time period called the dispensation of Holy Spirit. Go to John 16, turn the page once. Let's look at another one, starting with verse 12. And I still have a lot of things I want to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Why I said that is they weren't born again. There are things non-born again people can't get. There are things until the Spirit of God lives in you don't make sense. Okay. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority. Whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he'll tell you things to come. Excuse me. He will glorify me. Take what's mine, declare, that word declare means show it to you. All things the Father has are mine, therefore I said he'll take what's mine and show it to you. Now we're going to go over something here in a second, but let me explain something to you. I've read that scripture for years in a very shallow way up until this last week or two. And what I've read is right. Holy Spirit will take what's in this Bible and show it to you. He will take you through truth that you don't know, like who you are in Christ, baptism, Holy Ghost, get all of those things. He will take you. But you and I both know that Jesus knows a lot. And there's no way he's going to show you everything he knows. But he is going to show you everything he knows for you. That's where we're going to go today. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit hears from Jesus, finds out what it is he's saying to you, and gets you the information you need now for the time you're in. That's muy importante. But there's a lot of people that don't know what he's saying to them. The only time you ever hear anything from God is maybe a sermon. There's more to Christianity than that. And sometimes while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's still talking to you and saying things to you even I didn't say. And you've experienced that in church. You've experienced times when you're reading or something, and all of a sudden you'll get a prompting, and the Holy Spirit will start talking to you and give you scriptures or show you things that you need to know. We're going to increase that. Because there's no way he wants you ignorant. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. Go to John 16, because there's always this situation. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them, "Peace be to you, as the Father sent me, I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There is still in America today, and it's very strong, an ignorance between being born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. They're not the same thing. Jesus just breathed on. They just got saved. This isn't Pentecost. They hadn't got to Pentecost yet. So Pentecost must be something else, right? Okay, now having said that, we know that the way to get born again is you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Thomas, who said, I won't believe unless I see the prints and the holes in his hand and the hole in his side, I won't believe. And Jesus appeared to him and says, "Thomas, take your hand and stick it in my side. Put your finger and don't be unbelieving." So we notice Thomas got born again right there. He believed he died and rose from the dead. And then John went in the tomb, and it says when he saw the shell, it says that he believed. Mary believed when she thought he was the gardener, and then she believed. So these guys are getting, they're saved. So the church has today that Pentecost, or the when God sent the Holy Spirit, is the beginning of the church. Not true. Because this is why, now listen, I'm not calling pastors devils. Satan doesn't want you to know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because you can be the sweetest little Christian in the world as long as you don't have any power.
Right. That's true. That's good.
You're no threat to him. You know, I pick on Tanya all the time. If Tanya doesn't have a Glock and a car, she's no concern to me. I mean, as fast as she can run on foot, she won't catch my Tundra. But I can't outrun her radio or her friends, so I'm nice. Are y'all out there? Do you go home? Satan doesn't, you're no threat to the devil unless you got some power. And that scares him bad. All right, I'm going to make you scary to hell. So in Acts, in the book of Acts, let's start with verse 4. "And being assembled together, he commanded them, 'Don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father.' He said, 'You've heard of me. And John truly baptized you with water. You'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit.' And I did it many days from now. And they came together and said, 'When are you coming back?' And he said, 'Don't worry about it. It's in my time, not yours.' And verse 8, 'And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you.'" He didn't say you'd be born again. Now, why is that? Why is that? Why? Let's talk about the way we read our Bible today. Denominational Christianity says that Jesus did miracles to prove he was God incarnate. But it's not true. He was God incarnate when he was 12. And he didn't walk on water and go fishing. He didn't do any of those things. Why did he do it? Because it said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, a man with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil. He never had miracles until the Holy Spirit came on him. But yet he was very God for 30 years. He was God for 30 years. So that's not true. It just isn't true. But a convenient lie. I'm trying to help you. If you want power, you're going to want to listen to me. If you're not interested, you're in the wrong place. You should have stayed home with everyone else. Go with me. Well, let's go to Acts 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost fully come. They're all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire and sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, again, the evidence that you're filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. You say, but I don't speak in tongues. Well, you're not filled.
Right.
Well, I have the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, you do. But you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, God did not make a mistake. God didn't go, oh, golly gee, you should have, I didn't know that. We got to read, I wrote a Bible and all of that's wrong. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's junk. God did, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. They were filled. And they began to speak in tongues, and everybody in the book of Acts, everybody spoke in tongues. The reason it's not debated is they all did it. There wasn't a group of people who didn't. Because it wasn't a question then. Should we have a radio or not? When you have a truck or a car, you don't debate over whether you need the motor. You can choose power windows or not, but you can't decide whether that's not a decidable issue.
Yeah,
he didn't ask us. So nobody in the book of Acts debated it. They all spoke in tongues. We're going to get into a minute why God did that, even though to some of y'all you're thinking, well, he's looping. Sometimes God does loop. He does really weird stuff. But he's still God, so we know it's smarter than us. Even though it seems loopy to me, it's still God. And his loopy days are smarter than we are. So anyway, so now go to Romans 8. This is where I've been wanting to get all morning. When I came in and looked around this place, decided to have words with you. And shout me down. I'm going to do some reading. Romans 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Thus, God gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in life and in all truth. That is his job. He's here to help us because we need help. All right, let me make a statement to you. As much as I love you, I'm limited in my ability to help you for two reasons. Number one, I don't know everything. And number two, you're not telling me everything. You're only telling me a piece of your story, but you're not telling me everything. So I can't help you if I find out from your spouse, oh, there's a lot of stuff that they didn't say. But God knows everything and knows everything about you. He would be the one you would want to talk to. And not only that, but it's a local call. God was doing this before iPhones. It's the original wireless system. Get mine. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He makes intercession for the saints and for you according to the will of God. I'm going to say perfect will of God. And then you know everything's going to work together for your good. And every time. Okay, let's go back up to verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I'm going to read something to you, and I am not a Greek person. I don't do Greek. But when I want to know Greek, I go to Rick Renner, because Rick knows Greek. And out of all the things I've studied in the Greek, I've never studied a scripture as closely as I have this one in my life. This, what I'm going to show you today, has been one of the things that has helped me more than anything else. And I'm going to teach it to you right now so that it'll help you. Now listen to what he says. The Greek word is sunanti lembano. Now, you know, that's now you know why I don't do Greek. The word sun, S-U-N, means two people working in a partnership on the same job. That's what the word help means. Now, it means this. It means, the literal reading is take hold together with against. Take hold together with you against whatever is opposing you. Now, the only person that can take a hold together with you is Holy Spirit. Now, as much as you want everyone to know what you're going through and how bad it is, whatever floats your boat. And when you're finished, they will pat you. I won't pat Lisa, she'll let me pat. That's okay, baby, it'll all work out. That's about all you're going to get out of your friends. But Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He takes hold together with you against whatever you're dealing with. Not only is he doing it, he can change it. But he doesn't change anything that you are not working on. If you're not working on it, he's not working on it either. He can live inside of you and be unemployed. If you don't put him to work, he ain't doing nothing. Okay. You're thinking you like this better than the offering sermon? Okay. The word infirmity means weakness. People who are weak, sick, broken in their bodies, mind, and emotions. In other words, if that's you, he's come along to help you. Now, the next word is the word what? It is the Greek word T-I, and it means such a tiny thing that you are completely ignorant. In other words, whatever you're going through right now, you don't have a clue what to do. You're like, I can't fix it. And he's right. You can't. And you don't. Have you ever, how many demons are assigned to your case? Well, if you don't know that, you don't know much. How many angels did God assign to your case? Well, y'all are quiet. I mean, those are just basic information you need. And you don't have it. But there is somebody who does have it. Holy Spirit knows everything that's coming against you. He knows every plan that Satan's planning against you. He knows how many angels are signed and knows them by name. He is the one who has all of the knowledge, and you have none. And then the word intercession, I'm going to read it in the Greek. H-U-P-E-R-E-N-T-U-G-C-H-A-N-O. Right. Don't ask me how to say it. I don't know. Hooper something. And it means a rescue operation. All right. Has there ever been a time that you did not know how to pray about some kind of a challenge? Romans 8:26 says that he, the word helpeth, is a real partnership, two individuals working together to get a job done. The Greek word help is a compound word, sunanti lembano. It is when three words are joined, it says It means to take hold of something with someone, gripping it together as tight as possible and throwing your combined weight against it to get it out of the way. Holy Spirit has been sent to remove every obstacle that is in your way. All right. The Greek word helpeth, let me see. The word infirmity is the word weakness. It's used to describe people sick, ailing in their bodies, mind, or emotions. Frequently, it's used to describe people who are spiritually weak. And all of us have had times when we're like, that's okay. Holy Spirit knows that. That's why he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, because I'm going to send you another helper who's going to be different than me, but very much like me. Many people have said, I wished I could talk to Jesus. You don't need to. You can talk to Holy Spirit. He's the one that was in Jesus. Okay. Some of y'all are going, it's come a long way since the offer. The Spirit himself falls into our difficulty with us, initiating a supernatural rescue operation to get us out of the mess and put us back and put us and out of the mess and the pit that we fell into. Holy Spirit has come, and it says in the Greek, he will get in the pit with you, so that he'll stay there with you until he gets you out. Amen. Now, but what we have to talk about, it's not automatic. Okay, boy. When you say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me, that's what I'm here for, it says. I'm here to take responsibility helping you in your prayer. And at the bottom of the pit, Holy Spirit takes together with you in prayer against the hindrances that are preventing your deliverance. All right, now wait a minute. I said something. I said something about prayer. Oh, sure. I thought y'all were going to keep shouting. Go to Ephesians 1:22. Go to Ephesians 1:22. Put it on screen. And he put all things under his feet, Jesus, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head. The information has to come from the head to the Holy Spirit. But God is not doing anything in the earth apart from you. As a matter of fact, without you, he's limited. Well, that a hair lit Bear Creek. My head does not pick up a Bible by itself. Oh, God, you got a top on it. This is your image of Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice if my hand were to help me? Hand? No, I'm not. No. Left hand? I'll help you. Come on, y'all. Come on, I'm preaching better than you. Amen. God's doing nothing apart from his body. Either the body is listening, and I'm talking to you, or nothing is getting done.
That's right.
Is his will being done? No. Most Christians don't even know what it is. That's called a spastic. Jesus is going, I'd like some water. Oh, that's all right. We won't be there today. Well, what about my foot? Well, y'all are okay. No, I done got my Bible baptized. Are y'all out there? Matthew, who made this mess? Jesus did. All right. Matthew 16:19. Okay. I'll dry it out when I get home. You'll never forget the sermon, I'll tell you that. How was the sermon today? It was kind of wet. Jesus is, what's Jesus's head's name? What's his hand's name? Whoa. Really? I thought his hand was named Sam. Why don't we have a mindset that we're separate? But the head is doing nothing. The only thing he's doing in the earth today is through his body, or it is not getting done. So that means there must be impulses coming from the head to the body. Are there? How then does he do it? I'm getting ahead of myself. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind. Would you, is that amplified? Put that up in the amplified, would you? Can you do that for me without it causing a major? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful, what must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Listen to me. God needs you to pray some things out and to say some things. Who has the key? The church has the keys. If the devil is running rampant, who is it that's going to tell him to stop? It would have to be you. Okay, I'm trying to think of how I'm going to say what I need to say. But you don't know everything. Your prayer life will be, at best, 5 minutes. Father, I'm praying for Lisa, and now I'm going to pray for Joshua, Justin, and Jordan, Jay, and Ashley, and Rachel, and Reagan, and Cody, and Tyler, and bless them in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, let me see. Pray for the church, let's see. Pray for the church. You're just going to be real limited. And yet, there's so much God wants to do. So when you don't know what to pray for, Holy Spirit wants to get involved because he needs you to say some things. If you're the one, if the body of Christ is the one with authority over all the work of the enemy, wouldn't it be nice if he helped you say some stuff? Now, what we've done is we've run around, we got our list, and we've gotten very accustomed to operating in the earth without Holy Spirit. Right. Right. That's why it isn't working. Right. Yeah. Amen. Right. Well, I said it, and nothing happened. Wow. What gives here? Did you get a prompting from the head? Or is this just something you're doing on your own? Y'all are looking at me now going, Shandai, I just got a revelation of something. Yeah. There are things will never change. Unless the Holy Spirit's going to throw his weight against it with you. And unless you're praying and he's helping, it ain't changing. But you don't know, if you don't know how to pray, then you have a real problem. Right. So God is looking down from heaven and going, well, we know Lisa doesn't, you know, I mean, Lisa got saved. Lisa loves Jesus. Lisa's a good woman. Sorry about that. With all the stuff going on in the world, I carry. Don't be freaked out about it. All right. Not because of you, but for you. Because I'm the best shot in the building. There ain't nobody coming through those doors and harming anybody. But Lisa's she's a good woman. She loves Jesus. She's a great lady. But you know, she's limited. She's limited. And like, so God is going, okay, Lisa's going to get born again. And oh, God, she just doesn't know much of nothing. And so he looks over at Jesus and the Holy Spirit and says, what do you think we should do about that? And the Holy Spirit goes, why don't we help them pray? And he goes, well, how do we do that? Why don't we give them another language? And Jesus goes, you mean like Americans speaking Spanish? And Holy Ghost goes, yeah. That'd be cool. Well, they'll think we're crazy. Father, they already think we're crazy. So now we got Lisa going, God, I don't even know what's going on. And Lisa's going, help me, Brian. If you're not praying the Spirit, you're probably not getting anything done. Thank you, you're so sweet. Next time, put money in it. I'm teasing y'all. So what is it? What is it you're praying when you're praying the Spirit? Most of you are like, I don't know. You know that you can? Have you ever heard of tongues and interpretation? Okay, now listen to what I'm going to share with you right now. There's a lot of things you're praying out in the Spirit. God wants you to say them in English. And this is the reason why we talk about going in the Spirit, getting in the Spirit. It takes faith to do what I'm preaching. Because while you're praying in tongues, your head, which is raised by your parents, and their head is going, what are you saying? What are you doing? How long are we going to be here? I want another donut. How many of you ever prayed in the Holy Ghost and your head was like, and then you heard someone say, I prayed an hour, and you're like, what? An hour? What for? God already knows what I need. And the average tongue-talking, devil-chasing, Holy Rose, and charismatic, faith and word Christian might pray 5 minutes a day. Maybe. If that. Thus my sermon. Things aren't going to change much if that's all you're yielding and giving to God. Man, I had more amens on that than I did. John 11. Oh, I'm going to get out of here sooner than I have all kind of time. Let's go. Did you know that Jesus never did anything that he wasn't prompted by Father? Now that'll mess you up. Well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Did he? Let's read it. This is the one place in the Bible Holy Spirit said, I want you to write the whole story. I want them to be able to read how I operated and worked with Holy Spirit. Because Jesus had to work with Holy Spirit. Do we? Yes, we do. I got y'all 25 more minutes. I want a few more amens. You're making me nervous. John 11:1. There was a man who was sick in Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, her sister Martha. And it was that Mary anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. And Lazarus was sick. He's not dead. He's sick. And we all know Jesus heals the sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him and said, Lord, behold, the one you love is sick. And Jesus heard it. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, it does not mean that God made him sick for the glory of God. It just means the devil made him sick, but God's going to get glory out of it. Do you all understand that? Okay. That the Son of God may be glorified. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister. And when he heard that he was sick, he stayed at home two more days. That's just rude. But how rude? Why did he do that? Holy Spirit, Frank, wouldn't let him go. Because had he gone early, Frank, nothing would have happened. What? Right? Holy Spirit's helping you. Are you going nowhere fast? Thus, you better stay out of church on Sunday and you better get a second job. I'm being serious. Our days of doing this without God are over. And you're not working with him unless you're praying. Okay, let's go. And after that, he said to disciples, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said, well, Rabbi, well, you know, the Jews want to kill you. And he said, no big deal. And there's 12 hours a day. And he goes on, he starts talking about all this stuff. Verse 11, and he said, Lazarus, our friend, is asleep. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, well, he'll get well. He'll be all right. And Jesus spoke of his death. He never called dead people dead. Because the word death in the Bible, most of the time, is not talking about physical death. And that told Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Hebrew is dying, you shall die. You were dead in sins. You weren't physically dead in sins. When the Bible's talking about death, it's not primarily talking about physical death. Right. Yeah. Jesus is not going to call Lazarus dead. Right. And Jesus said to them plain, Lazarus is dead. Okay. And I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. Nevertheless, let's go. Thomas just said, well, let's all go die together. There's the one in every crowd, right? I mean, there's... Verse 17, Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. So it took a couple days to get there. I mean, it's like, where are you? Y'all have asked this before. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And when the Jews joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort and concern their brother, and Martha, as soon as they heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now he's holed up in a house. Doing what? Sitting. What? Sitting. Sitting. But Mary was in the house, and Martha said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus went, right. And then he stays in his chair. But even now we know that whatever you ask God, he'll give you. And Jesus says, well, your brother's going to rise again. She goes, yeah, I know. And the last days he's coming back. He goes, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm the resurrection of life, and then I want you to write this down so we can use it at funerals. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I want y'all to say this. I will never die. I want y'all to quit talking about the day you die. You'll never die. You may step out of that thing you're walking around in that's been giving you trouble. And when you get out of it, you're going to go, oh, yeah, this is life. I watched a guy on 700 Club one time, and he loved to run. But he got old, And when he died and got to heaven, God took him up to a place in the country and looked at him and said, "Want to run?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." And took off like a crazy, just running down the road. He'd always loved to run when he was a kid, but he hadn't been able to when he was older. So God just let him come to heaven and just run a while. Lisa's going to find a swimming pool up there and just swim around. I don't know what it is. Verse 28. And when she said these things, she went her way. She left and said, "The teacher's calling for you." And he came to him and she said, "If Jesus had not yet come to the town, but was in the place where Martha met him." And he's just sitting in the house. And the Jews who were there in the house comforting her, and they saw Mary rose up quickly and followed her and said, "Oh, she's going to the tomb. She's going to go weeping and all that." And Mary said to him, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You're late." Therefore, when he saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit. Mark it. Romans 8:26, groaning. Did you know, and Betty will tell you this, Barbara, Russa, there are times when you're praying and you will run out of English. And you see, that's why the ladies don't let everyone come to the prayer meetings, because they're not accustomed to people praying without saying words. But what are they doing? They're making power. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Y'all do want to know this, don't you? There are some sermons you do not want to ever forget. And this is one of them. And he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He's not bothered. That's not what, he's troubled. Look at this next one. Jesus wept. He's not having a pity party. How many of you have ever been praying until you went over into just weeping in the spirit? Just weeping in the spirit. It's called compassion. It's a spirit of compassion. When Zion travails, she brings forth children. And the Jews said, "See, I loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept him from dying?" And Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And they said, and the stone lay against it. And he said, "Take the stone and get it out of my way." What's going on here? Spirit of God is on Jesus, and he's producing power. Go to the book of James. Well, stay. You need to stay here. Put James up on the screen. I want you to stay here a minute. Go to James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will restore him if he's committed. Go to 16. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. What kind of praying is that? That's not the prayer of faith. That's not looking at something and calling those things that are not. This is a prayer that you pray over your family. This is a prayer you pray over people. And because intercession means to take their place, and you will feel what they feel. Very often when I'm praying for someone sick, I will feel sick. When I'm praying for someone depressed, I will actually get depressed while I'm praying. I will take their place, and I will get in with them, and Holy Spirit will get in there with them and pray them out of that mess. But without prayer, you're not coming out. This is a very important subject. You're not doing it with your intellect. You're not doing it with, "Now I lay me down to sleep. Help me, Jesus." Can I look at one more? Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who's one of you, he must go to Word of Life. A bondservant of Christ greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer that you'll stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Most of the things you and I deal with will never change until you spend time, you and Holy Spirit, pray them out. Pray them out. If you're going to be a holy roller, be a holy roller. If you're going to talk in tongues, talk in tongues. Say, Holy Spirit, help me pray about this in Jesus' name. I don't want to go into detail, but I'm going to tell y'all something. I've had seasons in my life, I don't talk about it, where all hell broke loose. When Wish and I were in the cabin, the hurricane destroyed the whole $850,000 cabin. Destroyed the floors. Josh's car blew up. Justin's car blew up. And we had people in this church trying to tear it up. And I would wake up in the 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm giving a little piece of my heart. Don't step on it. Wake up in a cold sweat, and my bed is soaked with sweat because of fear. And the doctor said, you have 1 year. That's a bad week. And I would get up and pray and pray and pray. I don't know what to do, Steve. I don't know what to do. I don't have the money. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. And I don't have anybody to help me. And I need some help. And I would pray in the Spirit. And I would pray in the Spirit. And I would pray in the Spirit. And when I went to this guy over there that used to own the shopping center, and I was talking to him, and he looked at me and said, what is it you need? I said, I need $250,000. And he said, I'll loan it to you. I'm a bank. And I went, Shandai. That's what I'm praying about in the Spirit. Yeah. And I got my loan, and I finished the house, and I sold it. And I prayed about my health. Listen to me. I'm not that smart. I get in messes. I don't know how to get out. Have you ever had anybody attack you? You can't fight them. They lie. The workers in my house busted all the windows out, $700 a piece. They took a hammer and busted all of my windows. What for? The devil. And then I came to Word of Life Church, and there's people trying to get me ousted because I wasn't working hard enough. And it ain't their fault. I built a cabin. But I really don't need to be kicked out of a job because of a moron in my church. And I had morons here. There were morons. People were getting saved, and they didn't like me. And I'm thinking, y'all are idiots. Oh, and it just made me mad. I just got mad. And I needed to pray in the Spirit because the love of God has shed abroad in my heart. And I needed some love right now. I need a guy in love. No, I know none of y'all know anything about what I'm preaching. Anybody in here ever been through anything? Just somebody help me out a little bit. Anybody in here other than me ever been through something? Just El Crapola. That's Spanish for bad day, bad week, bad month. Just bad, baby. Hadn't been for this scripture and Rick Renner's book, I would not have known this. And I'm going to say this to y'all. Through the Holy Spirit, turned every bit of it around. And y'all thought I was being spiritual. I wasn't spiritual. I was scared. turned the church around, turned my family around, kept me alive. Got Josh's car fixed, got Justin's car fixed. Glory to God. Now I just pray in tongues all the time. I don't even wait till a problem arises. I just wake up in the morning and go, I just start covering my bay. Help me starting right now. You want to hear another story? I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Say amen.
Amen.
My sister Nancy, I'm at the house. We're over there on Indian Bluff. And the Lord said, you need to pray for Nancy. And I said, I'm trying to pray for my ministry. You know, like Nancy's like important. Nancy wasn't even born again at the time. And I would pray, oh, Heavenly Father, help Nancy. And then I would go back to praying about, you know, myself. Which is what we mostly pray about, ourselves. Wow. So we're at the Leggett's house. We're doing a Bible study. I'm going to lose it right now. Y'all just let me. Holy Spirit comes on me and I begin to intercede. If you have never seen anyone interceding, you begin to groan. You begin to pray in tongues and you begin to groan. And I mean, it's terrible to see someone do this. It looks like a woman having a baby. And I never had a baby, but I think I know what it's like to have a baby. If what you're going through in intercession like having a baby, then I know something a little bit about having a baby. And I am sitting in the living room, and I'm groaning in the spirit, and I'm birthing. I'm giving birth. And I'm crying. I'm lost. I felt lost. I felt lost. And Holy Spirit rest on my shoulder and said, please don't quit. Please don't quit. Or Nancy would have been lost. God needed someone. Nancy had died in an airplane and descended into hell. And he's on me to pray her out. And I'm sitting in the living room and the Leggetts are eating ice cream in the kitchen. And I'm groaning and screaming, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. Groaning in the spirit. God doesn't work outside of you. If you're not praying, he's not doing anything in your life. Your intellect's not going to get you where you want to go. In about what, I guess 15, it seemed like a half an hour. God, you know what I'm talking about, Barbara. It seems like forever. I began to laugh. Just started laughing. I started laughing. That's a wonderful fish. Laughed and laughed and laughed. Whatever it was, I got the victory. And I said, Lord, who am I praying for? He said, call your sister Nancy. I called Mark, and Nancy left that night and went to Boston. She couldn't stand Mark anymore, so she went back to her old boyfriend, who was worse than Mark. You know, when you're not saved, you don't get smart just because dumb people just keep doing dumb stuff. So I looked at Lisa, and I said, we got to get her down here. And so I called her boyfriend. I said, you need to put her back on the airplane. And I get Nancy on the phone, and she's a zombie, y'all. Lisa will tell you what I'm telling you right now is absolute truth. We got her down here. Mama picked her up at the airport, and Nancy would sit in cross leg and never blink and have no expression. And I would say, Nancy, she'd go, huh? And I looked at her and I said to Lisa, I said, we got to get her. My mother is doting over her. When people get physical, get out of the room with people who are, my baby, my baby. Stop that mess. You don't do anything. So we grabbed Nancy and took her to my house, locked my mother out. She's in heaven now. She's okay with me telling this. She's over the embarrassment. She's got Nancy born again. And when I did, the zombie look quit. I mean, she kind of like went. And then she started talking. But she's depressed. I don't want to say bad. Depressed. And she looked at me, she said, I'm not going back. I can't do that. The drugs and the hell, I will not return. I said, okay. I said, well, go get you filled with the Spirit. And Lisa and I read the Bible to her and prayed for her. When Nancy got filled with the Spirit, she laid in my living room and laughed for hours. Rolled in my living room floor, drunk in the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
This is not a game.
No, it's not.
This is power.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Nancy after she got normal and told me all about what was going on and the whole nine yards. And I got Mark up there and got Mark born again, her husband. And then the rest of it's more story. Cast a demon out of Brooke. 2-year-old bit her tongue and spit blood in my face and growled at me. It's a mess, y'all. The world's a mess. But yet Nancy's here today. Not because of me, but God can't pray apart from you. He's hindered by his church. Y'all are quieter than the offering. Take away the stone. And she said, by now he stinks. He said, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you'd see the glory of God, and took the stone out of the way. The dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know you always hear me. When did God hear him? When he's groaning in the Spirit. What's he doing? He's making power. I can't tell you the times that I've sat in a church service and the pastor would give an altar call and me sitting in my chair, I would just begin to groan. Just as quiet as I can, not to bother. And I know I'm praying for some drunk. And I look up at the altar call and people are coming forward and I know I'm interceding them, I'm bringing them, I'm birthing that man in the kingdom. Having 1,000 people in a church is not a church. Having 300 people, not a church. Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do them also, and greater than these. I didn't know y'all were going to get so quiet on this. Isn't God good? I want to emphasize this, and I want to try to close. Well, anyway, it says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. If Holy Spirit wasn't helping him, Lazarus would have stayed in the grave.
Yeah, right.
If he'd have got there, he can't do this without Holy Spirit. Neither can you. There are things God wants to say through your mouth that will change your life. Let me see if I can close with this. It says over there, when you pray in tongues, pray that you'll interpret. What for? Because you need to say in English, what are you praying about? You know what I'm talking about. There are times when you're praying and it's the English is not like normal. It's like, I should. And you're like, whoa. And you're saying things. And, oh, no, I plead the blood of, in the name, you foul. Get off of them in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in India. A guy next to me died in the crusade. Holy Spirit said, command him to come back. And I hit him. Don't think. You'll talk yourself out of what he tells you to do. You will not. And I hit him and said, in Jesus' name. And he comes back and said, I don't feel good. I said, yeah, no joke. I tried to think of a bunch of things, and some of them, I think you get the point. Holy Spirit wants to help you in life. You are going to be the one that prays it out. Some of you have got stuff you've been dealing with. And understand this. Listen to me. You wouldn't tell a soul because it's not good. Your marriages are not where they need to be. Your kids are not where they need to be. And you've talked to them. Stop talking to them. And start talking to God about them. And you get in there and you're living in your closet and you go, Holy Spirit, this is, you said whatever I allow and I don't allow this. And it's going to change here now. Brother Hagin one time was praying over Dub. Prayed over Dub for years. Said if it ever did any good, I would know it. While he was praying in the spirit, he got a revelation and he stood up and he said, Satan, I bind you. You won't stop him from coming in. And in 10 days, Dub was born again. A lot of power. Brother Hagin also said this. I'm trying to close. Someone asked him, he says, what's the secret to your ministry? He said, praying in the spirit and love. Compassion. The secret. We are a church full of tongue talking devil chasing holy rollers. Full of God, full of power. You're full of God. You're full of God. Do I need to keep going or I'm done? Am I done? Steve, am I done? Just say I'm done. I'm trying to teach you that. The problem that we're having in the earth today is not Biden. And it's not Putin. And it's not Ukraine. It's the church. I will build my church. You're not a devil in hell that can do anything if you start praying. You have all authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus and he gave it to you. Jesus was only one man and you never heard him tell a story about Herod bothering him. And yet he started a move of God by himself. What would happen if 300 people decided to go, I think we're going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Boy, I got a lot more to say. Out of your belly will flow rivers. When you're praying in the spirit, you're dumping water on everything in your life. You're watering every dry area. And it's the only way to water it in the spirit. So when you get home today, I wished I could be there. You're going to walk around and go, I'm going to do this. Shout out. And your head's going to go, is there any ice cream in the freezer? And you're going to realize you have a flesh. And you're going to go, I'm going to pray an hour. And you're going to look down and go, oh, it's fine. go. What happens to you is this. You get so far over there that after a while, it's more fun to be in the spirit than out of it. It's easier to be in the spirit than it is to be out of it. And I'm done. Father God, I'm done. I'm done, Papa. I'm done, Father. Father, there's people in this room right this moment. Now, they wouldn't come up for anything in the world and tell us. And there's not much we could help them with. But you will help them. And I pray that if they listen to what I said, just that one scripture, Romans 8:26, if they'll just do that, if they'll just do that one scripture, their life will turn. Their husband will turn, their wife will turn, their kids will turn. The things they're dealing with, it'll all begin to change. And I pray that when they walk out of here today, they'll remember the second sermon more than the first one. I forget the play, they never forget the first one either. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Spirit. You are the greatest gift God ever gave me next to Jesus. And you came and you live inside me. And you help me pray. And you have helped me through all kind of stuff that I can't share publicly. You've helped me with my flesh. You've helped me with depression. You've helped me. You've gotten me out of situations that I couldn't tell a soul. But yet today, 38 years later, 40 over 45 of walking with you, 50, I'm still standing. I'm still here. I'm still strong in the Lord. And I owe it all to you because you have never left me and you are always there. My desire in my heart today was to share this with the church and get them to understand what you gave us. And I pray that this church would become a praying church, a praying church. Barbara, do you have anything that you're... No. How many of you have experienced what I shared? You had the Holy Spirit just use you. I want you to, praying in the Spirit is fun. Don't try to make yourself grow. Don't stop it when it starts. You can't have a baby if you're not pregnant. Don't run around groaning all the time. You're weird. But I'm going to tell you something. When a church... Every revival in the earth started when people got together and started praying in the Spirit. We're not waiting on God. Before Jesus returns, you will see people walk this earth exactly like Jesus. Casting out devils, raising the dead. He'll say, you and I will see people do it. But there will be people that are in a church like this that go, I'm fixing to start being used by God. If Jesus did it by the Holy Ghost, I can do it too. Start with your family. Get every one of them free. Get them free. You have something? Isn't God good? Did y'all get anything out of this? Yeah. It went a little different than I thought it would. I tried to make it as happy as I could make it.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.